All right. Last week, I should have said on a main over there, as I was turning on. Last week, we spoke about, at the very end of the parsha, we spoke about the behemoths. We spoke about kosher animals, not kosher animals. We brought out the book and everything, started going through it. Now, in Parshas Tazria, we say at the end of Parshas Shemini, it says, L'havdol ben ha-tumi ben ha-tor, we're differentiating between tummy and tor animals. B'nechaya ne'achelz b'nechaya shalos se'achel, between an animal that can be eaten and an animal that can't be eaten. Right after this, Dabra Hashem Moshe Lemor, Dabra ben Israel Lemor, Isha ki Tazria, speak to ben Israel, saying, a woman, when she is Mazria, when she becomes impregnated, the oldest Zohar, and then she gives birth to a male, the Tama Shivas Yamim, she should be Tame for 7 days, Kimeni Das Tavosa Titma, the same amount of days as she normally is in Nida, when she goes into her the cycle. That's how much she should be Tame when it comes to Yoledis, when she gives birth, after she gave birth. Okay, but Yom HaShmini Yom HaBisar also on the 8th day, you give your kid, they give the kid the Persimila. Okay. What is the connection between the Oledis, a woman who just gave birth, and a Chaya Asher Lo Se'echel, a wild animal that should not eat, that you cannot eat? I'm sorry?
Kichayot Hema.
Kichayot Hema, that's very cute, that they're wild animals, that they're considered like the midwives, are like the Jewish women were considered like animals, that they gave birth before the midwives would come, and Mitzrayim is a very good call, a very good call. There's a Panach Raza. Panach Raza says an unbelievable answer. He says, there's a skua. If you want to have a baby boy, to eat the second stomach of a rabbit.
Oh, God.
The kevas are nevis. Everybody here, I'm showing good.
The kevas are nevis.
Of a regular rabbit. Of a regular rabbit. Kevas are nevis. I know. Okay, according to what we said last week, maybe it's a kangaroo. But it's a skula. It's a skula. So it doesn't necessarily apply to Jews. It applies to everyone, right? It's a skula that if you want to do it, you eat a kevas are nevis. So Rabbeinu Ephraim says, Eshes Manoach, the wife of Manoach, the mother of Shimshon, was told by her neighbors, you want to have a baby? Go eat a kevas are nevis. And that's why the Malach went up to her and said, Al tokli ko tuma. Don't eat. The Malach said to her, don't eat any tuma.
What, she was in the habit of eating tuma? She had a kid named Shimshon who was a show fan, and all of a sudden you're going to have, what's it called? She's going to start eating tuma?
No, the fact is, because she thought to herself that the only way she was going to have a kid is through the skula of eating the kevas are nevis, the stomach of a rabbit. So the Malach had to tell her specifically, don't eat the kevas are nevis. Don't eat that kevas are nevis. And that's the connection between these two over here, that it says Chaya Asher Lo Se'achel, even though you won't eat the Chaya Asher Lo Se'achel, you won't eat that rabbit that you shouldn't be eating, still Isha Ki says Rev the Old Zohar, you'll still be able to give birth to baby boys. Don't worry, it has nothing to do with the rabbit. I hope.
That's a torment because there's a minhag at one time that they used to eat the rabbit thing.
It must be that there was that it was something that was actually done, and that's why we're telling you,
works.
You know? Yeah. I don't know if Jewish people ever had it. No, for sure Jewish people never should have had this minhag. But apparently it was a big minhag by going to do so, maybe by the Arabs, whatever it was. So because of that we're saying no. I'm sure a Jew told an Arab to go ahead and do that, and there was a school and I just been like, just do it. They kept eating it. Anyway, the Rush says, you never think that the Rush would say such a thing, but we're going to have a little bit of fun with this. Rush says that many nisim occur when a baby is born. Many miracles happen at that one point. Why? Aside from the fact that there's a tiny birth canal and he has to squeeze his way through it, he's not breathing during that entire time. Aside from the fact that he can't move for those 9 months. Aside from the fact that but he doesn't really move, you know? It's just like that little kicking, you know? That's all he can do. And aside from the fact that a woman's blood ends up turning into milk, aside from all those crazy miracles, which don't really make much sense as to why they should be, aside from all that, the fact that his parents love him is possibly the biggest miracle you can possibly imagine. The kid is a prune, usually has a cone head. He's slimy, looks pretty disgusting, and caused a crazy amount of pain. I mean, I personally don't want to say this about my own kids, but I've never seen a baby that was born that I really liked. I mean, I you know, it's just like, as they're born, you know, they're cute now. You know, they're cute after
cute.
One, you know,
here's
after like
wrinkle.
A week.
Yeah.
But the first week, I had three, actually. So all three of them are, you know, they're cute now, but like when they're first born, you look at them, you're just like, okay, it's a baby prune.
It's a baby.
Yeah,
baby.
It's just, that's not what I expected exactly. You know, it's just, it's just, you never expect like the woman and the guy, especially the mother. The mother just went through torture, aside from carrying the baby in her stomach for 9 months, but the fact that she just gave birth, and it was a crazy amount of pain. And she takes the baby, and she's like, "Oh,
you think it's part of your body?
That's true, but you think, like, especially something that looks like you just went to the bathroom. You think that the woman wouldn't have so much of a connection to it. She would just say, like, all right, let's give it up this time. You know, she wouldn't be so happy with it. Eventually, okay, when it looks a little bit better, then you say, like, okay, the baby's beautiful. It's a beautiful baby. But at that first time, how in the world? She takes it in her hands and she says, this is it. Says the Rush. That's a crazy miracle. Chaim Ray, a guy who I went to yeshiva with, he lives in Lincolnwood. Now he lives in Eretz Yisrael. He possibly the next Gadol Hador. The guy is an unbelievable guy. He told me from B'Shem Rabbi Akiva Tatz. Chaim Ray. So he told me B'Shem Rabbi Akiva Tatz. Rabbi Akiva Tatz says the following. He says, he asked this question. It's a crazy question. Why are all people attracted to babies? Why? When they walk into a room, everybody's like, oh, look at the baby. And like, they do the simplest things. It's like, by animals, it's not that way at all. Gorillas usually beat their kids. Lions eat half of their kids. You have, like, if a lion goes into a brand new pride, he'll kill all the cubs. Nobody else has such a desire for babies except for human beings. Why is that so? Why is it like that by human beings as opposed to any other animal? So, Rabbi Akiva Tatz says, because when a baby's born, he's born with kol Torah kula. He has every little bit of Torah within him. Every single thing you can think of in Torah, he has it within him. And aside from that, there was the malach that came out with him. The malach that went up to Shemayim, but the malach came out at the exact same time. So at that time, right when the baby's born, aside from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, because we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows everybody to give birth, the mafteach, the key to childbirth, is only in the hands of God, and God doesn't give it out to anybody else. So aside from all that, the fact that we're allowed to be there at that time, and that baby, someone has the shechina on him, and someone has... It's a Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham who can't remember his Torah learning because he just got hit over there, you know? But it's a Talmud Chacham. That draws you to the baby. It gives you, you're drawn to it because the Shechina was there, because the Malach was just with it, because it's a Talmud Chacham that just lost his Torah. You're drawn to that baby and you really want to have, you want to have something to do with that baby. That's what ends up happening every time. And you, I guess you have that type of a connection with it. The Meshech Chacham continues it a little bit further. He says, yeah.
Girls born called Torah Tula.
Oh, that's a good question. I asked Rebbe Ravel that question, a basic straw person. Rebbe Ravel knows all these types of questions. What do women learn in the womb? He told me they learn how to cook and to spin clothing.
Are you sure you want that?
Yeah. Rachel doesn't listen. Now she's definitely, if she does, I'm going to be very impressed. I'm sorry, Rachel. But either way, that's what he told me. And it's not the truth. The truth is that they learn all the Torah that they're supposed to learn in this world. So meaning, Tanakh, they know Baal Peh. Halachas, they'll know Baal Peh. Do they learn Gemara? No, there's no need for them to learn Gemara. They know the Halachas, they know Tanakh Baal Peh. That's all they need. Once they learn Tanakh Baal Peh, I have nothing wrong with them learning Gemara. That's perfectly fine. Those people are absolute geniuses. It's a good thing for them to do. It's just, before that, there's no purpose for them to learn Gemara. So they have that instead. They do that instead.
But
non-Jewish people also have Shabbat Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, and anything they're supposed to know within the world.
So they're attracted to non-Jewish babies too, because they have some...
You have some type of a connection to everybody, right. There's still a Malach by them.
I'm
not even going to answer that. Either way, but that's the Meshech Chachma says another big connection over here. He says the Zayin Yemei Yoledes, according to the Midrashim, is connected to the Zayin Yemei Avelus, the 7 days of Avelus, 7 days of mourning. What's the connection between the 7 days of a woman giving birth to the 7 days of Avelus, 7 days of mourning? I'm sorry?
This Tumah period.
What is the connection between this period, specifically after you give birth, to Zayin Yemei Avelus, the 7 days of Avelus? Why?
Because the baby's in this wonderful life, he's with the Shekhinah, and then he comes out and he's got to face the harsh reality of this poor, pitiful world.
Very good. I mean, Esav and Yaakov had that same fight. Yaakov pulled Esav by the leg and tried to pull him back. He said, you don't want to go out there. Esav, in here, you're a tzaddik. Out there, you're a rasha. There's no reason for you to go out there. That's probably why he pulled him by the leg. That's 100% true. A little bit more to that is that whenever the baby's born, like we just said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, the Shekhinah is there, the Malach is there. There's a lot of Kedusha there. As soon as Kedusha leaves, because the Shekhinah doesn't stay there, the Malach doesn't stay there, the Shekhinah and the Shekhinah and everything there just goes straight back up to Shemayin. So as soon as that leaves, immediately Tumah comes in. Tumah loves to be there when there's no more Kedusha. As soon as Kedusha leaves, whatever spot it is, Tumah immediately resides there. If you have a shul,
front churches on Tui sometime back.
If you have a shul that went out, that went under for whatever reason, and if if it became a church or whatever, even if it was just an empty area, that place is full of mazik. It's full of what we call shaitan, full of what we call demonic beings that would be able to try to rule over the people that go in there. There's a lot of tumah there, because once Kedusha leaves, the tumah tries to stay. After a baby leaves its mother's stomach, and the Shechina has left, and the Malach has left, and the Talmud Chacham that's within the baby has just left us, that Kedusha leaves, immediately tumah comes in. And that's the 7 days of tumah by the woman. That's 7 days of tumah by the woman. The same thing when a person passes away. Right before you pass away, you're shown by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, obviously this is by the Midrashim, you're shown by a Kadosh Baruch Hu the makom where you're supposed to reside in Olam Haba. You're supposed to be shown that makom. The Shechina is with you when you pass away, especially if you're sick, because we know that the Shechina is with someone who's sick. So right before you pass away, the person is with the Shechina. There's somebody with them, and the Malach HaMavis might be there. The Malach HaMavis is still a Malach. There's still a lot of Kedusha. As soon as it leaves, a ton of tumah comes in. There's a ton of tumah that comes in right then. That's why dead bodies have a certain amount of tumah. And as 90 Be'avelos is the same connection. Why? What's the connection? The connection is that when Kedusha leaves, tumah comes into play. It all goes back to what Chaim was saying, what Chaim told me from Rabbi Akiva Tatz. That's of Shapi and why everybody loves a baby. Because everybody wants it. It's Talachachem Shabbat. It's a Talachachem
over. What about the girl?
The girl's the same way. Days. Oh, why is the girl 14 days and everything like that? It's another story. Especially by the Sforno. Oh, whatever. A girl apparently is, I don't know if anybody's seen this before, but supposedly there's a difference between a pregnant woman. If you're giving birth to a girl, your fingers get fat. If you're giving birth to a boy, you're not fat anywhere except for the stomach itself.
It's not
necessarily true. By Ruvi, my wife is fat all over. But by Devorah, it was true. By Ezzy, it was true. By Ruvi, it wasn't. But maybe it's not. Maybe it's the third kid already. Well, she's not listening, I'm telling you. So either way. Now I'm going to make sure she is.
Remember that time in Israel?
Either way, that's that. Now, the Ben Ish Chai says the most unbelievable thing you'll ever hear me born in your life. I think this is the funniest one ever. And since we're into bashing Rachel today, we might as well bash all women together. Let's get everyone down. So you got to hear this word. He says, there's a message that says, Titein l'shiva gam l'shmona. Titein l'shiva gam l'shmona in this week's parsha. It starts off the parsha, Isha Kisa Zriya V'yolda Zachar. Titein l'shiva gam l'shmona. So you say, what's the pshat behind it? Give to seven and you'll get eight, and then there'll be eight? The pshat is that if you keep Hilchos Nida, you keep Hilchos Nida, your wife is able to keep Hilchos Nida, then you'll be zocha to have a baby boy who will get a bris mila at the age of eight days. So if you do the 7 days of Nida, then you'll be okay, you'll have a baby boy, you'll have 8 days of mila. So everybody asks, what's the connection? And what's with the boys? Why boys specifically? Why does it have to be a boy? Maybe it should be a baby. Just a boy baby. Why does it have to be a baby boy?
No number for girls.
That's true, but what's the connection? What's the connection? Like, why Nida causes a baby boy? So I will tell you that my first year in yeshiva, on Purim, I wanted to get drunk. And it's been a while, so I decided I was going to have a thing of vodka. And I took Strawbanna Jump. If anybody knows what that's like, Strawbanna Jump. And I did a mixer. I did a little bit of a mixer between the Strawbanna and the vodka. I got beyond the sickest thing I've ever had before in my life. I've never been that sick before in my life. And from then on, I could never, ever drink Strawbanna Jump, even by itself. Because every time I tasted the Strawbanna Jump, I tasted the vodka. And I tasted everything like that. And it was always disgusting to me. I could never do it. Because you have it once. If something bad happens, you have that bad experience, it's like, forget it. I'm not going to do it ever again. So the connection says, of any chai is like this. Woman caused death in the world. So if woman caused death in the world, you should separate from them completely. Not have anything to do with them. Keep them all the way in the side, just be like, you stay there. We're not going nowhere near you. Like, keep them in a cage, keep them locked up, and have them totally separate. Not go anywhere near them at all times. That's what you would think. I mean, come on. Why in the world would you go near them? It's just like Strawbanna Jump to me. Why would I ever go anywhere near them? That's what you would think. But the fact is, we know it's allowed. Because we know there's supposed to be children, there's supposed to be relationships, marriage, there's so many mitzvahs that are involved over here. So obviously, it has to be allowed. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't want you to come back into the same problem that was there before. For it to be another thing of where Chava convinced the other Marishim to do this, we don't want that to happen again, where a woman is able to convince her husband to do something evil. So we separate from them once every month, and we remind ourselves, be careful. Be careful. Don't let yourself be swayed by these women. Don't let yourself be swayed by these evil, evil women. There's a rush in Parshas Bereishis.
delicious. I found this on a Shabbos, and I said, like, oh my gosh. My wife told me, what did you just read? I'm like, nothing. Close the book really quickly. It says that who are Yitzhara, who are Satan, who are Malach HaMavis, who are Isha. Yitzhara is the Satan, the Malach HaMavis is the Isha. They're all the same. They're all the same. But either way, the idea is like that. And that's what Nida is. Nida is that because she spilled blood, therefore she spills blood. Therefore she gets Nida. She gets Nida. The entire idea behind Nida is to separate us from them because they cause death, so we stay away from them. Now, obviously, I think, I'm not positive, but I think the Ben Ishkar was being a little bit facetious over here. But the idea behind it is just the following. If you keep Nida, if you're able to keep Nida, if you're able to keep those 7 days of Nida, then what's the schar that you get? What's the reward you get? The 8 days of Nila. Why? Because you keep Nida, that means you understand that boys have to stay away from the girls, that the women are evil, and that the men are the ikker. Men are true, we're the best ones out there, and the women are only secondary to us. So if you do that, that means you'll be Zilcha to have a baby boy. Not a baby girl, because they're not the ikker. You'll have a baby boy. That's his answer. Obviously, that is a... It's a cute answer, but it's just like, because, Titin Lashiva, if you keep Nida, thinking that this is what I'm supposed to do, to stay away for 1 week, to know that I can't always, obviously, there's being a Yaseira and everything, but to know that there's a danger in getting swayed too much, then you'll be Zohar to have a baby boy. To have a boy instead of a girl. Now, obviously, that was a little bit facetious, and I wouldn't suggest to say that over at a Shabbos table on Friday night, unless you're at my house, but anywhere else, I wouldn't suggest saying it over to anyone.
Get away from your house. Yeah.
But I mean, the question that Ben Ishkar asked after that is, what about Goyim? Goyim have boys also, right? So why do Goyim have boys? They don't keep Nida, so what's the din by them? Here we go. Normally, when this is a good one. This is actually a really good
one. Like overcoming the Yetzer. Yeah. Being patient.
Yes.
So let's say you have boys. If the man is patient...
The man is patient, therefore you get another
then
boy.
Then he has boys.
That's a simple shot. It's not Ben Ishkar, though.
No, what are you talking about? That's
I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it's a patience board. Whatever. You have to explain why the patience will lead you to a boy. But either way, what is the pshat behind the Goyim? Why is the pshat that Goyim also have boys? So he says, whenever you do a mitzvah, there's always a taina on you in Shemayim. Every mitzvah you do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a claim on you in Shemayim. And he says to you, well, who gave you the ability to do that mitzvah? I did. So it wasn't a full mitzvah done by you. For example, bris milah. How do you do bris milah? You give birth to a boy, and then you end up doing a bris milah. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I gave you the boy. Since I gave you the boy, so therefore it's my mitzvah. I led you to be able to do that mitzvah. You didn't do the mitzvah all on your own. You had my help. Without my help, it's nothing. So Kadosh Baruch Hu made it so that Avadi, there could be boys that are born naturally. You could have a natural boy that are born naturally in a natural way. But you have a way of changing it around, of making it that you caused yourself to have a boy. How? By keeping Nida. If you keep Nida, then you'll have a boy in your own schus, not for any other reason. And if you have that boy, you'll be Zocher in the mitzvah of Mila. And when a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, but I gave you the boy, no, it was because of me that you gave me that boy. Because it's Segula that you gave me. Then obviously you can say, Kadosh Baruch Hu can say, but I gave you the mitzvah of Nida. True. But that's sort of like a grumma to grumma, so let's not go that far. But that's a nice little board. Okay, a little bit of a hit
let's
and run.
If you only have girls, huh?
If you only have girls, not a bad thing. Not a bad thing.
And you have Nidas, then what?
What? Same thing. Obviously, not supposed to be. Not supposed to be, you know? It's not bad. What if you don't have any children at all? Not supposed to be. You know, there's always that thing where HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes along. Probably these are not, like, this is not Pashut Pshat. This is just, like, cute Jushim that you can get over. Okay, but let's go. Why do we have a bris on the 8th day? Why do you have a bris on the 8th day? So the Chassam Sofer said an unbelievable thing. There's a couple answers to this. Check out the Or HaChaim. There's a Sephorno. There's a couple answers that are very, very nice. But the Chassam Sofer says he was once in a hospital, and there was a person who had a wound who was bleeding profusely, and they couldn't stop the bleeding. No matter what they did, they kept putting stuff on it, they weren't able to stop the bleeding. The bleeding wouldn't stop. So the doctor said all nurses get out of the room. Told all the nurses to get out of the room. All the nurses got up and left. They all got up and walked out of the room. Sam Sofer looked inside the room. The person who was bleeding stopped bleeding. So he turned to the doctor and he said, what did you just do? How do you know that sending the woman out of the room is going to help? He said, in my experience, Dam Nida is Moshe Dam. It pulls out other blood. That when a woman is in a state of Nida, it pulls out other blood from the body and makes the other blood flow. Said the doctor, unbelievable thing. As soon as I sent out, I knew one of the nurses must have been in Nida. And that's why the blood flow wouldn't stop. So as soon as I sent her out, I knew the blood flow would eventually stop.
Interesting.
That's what I ended, that's what he ended up saying. So why is Amila done on the eighth day? Because for 7 days she's in Dalmida. She's got Dalmida, she's bleeding. On the eighth day is when she stops. That's when she becomes Tahor. So because on the eighth day she becomes Tahor, she's not bleeding anymore. Therefore it's not going to be Moshech the Dam of the Bris Mila, and everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. It's a very, very, that's a hit and run answer. That's a very, very nice answer. Chanukah Sator says, you know what, let's skip that. I want to get to Tzoras. I'm really into Tzoras. Let's go to Tzoras right now.
We got by Yadaber Hashem with Moshe V'Aharon Lemor and Perakim Gimel. It says, Adam, Yeba Orbis Ros Seis Osapachas Obaharis, a man, when he has within his skin, Seis Osapachas Obaharis, those are four different types, I know it's three words, but it's four different types of Tzoras. But Yeba Orbis Soros the Negus Tzoras, and it will become in his skin, like a type, a plague of Tzoras. V'Hu V'Aharon HaKohen, it will be brought to Aharon HaKohen, O'Alachon Yibad HaKohen,
or to one of his sons, the Kohanim. I put together a bunch of different boards together. There's going to be a Chassam Sofer in here. There's a Ben Ish Chai in here. There's a Miam Lois in here. There's a Tfaris Yonis in here. There's a Rav Hirsch in here. I'm not going to be able to say which one is which. The Yalkut Uveni, a couple others. I'll try to like say which one is which, but I'm going to put them all. I'm trying to put them all together. Adam. What's Adam? Why not say Ish? Why say the word Adam? So what do we know about Adam? What do we know about the word Adam? What do you guys have from the Gemara? What is Adam said about? They say Adam about something. About what? A Jew. Dafkan Adam. Atam kuyin Adam, velo ha'akum kuyin Adam. You are called Adam, and goyim are not. Now that's the famous line that they said to Rav Moshe Shapiro, Rav Meir Shapiro, I'm sorry, of Lublin, the Rav of Lublin, the one who started the Daf Yomi. They asked him, they brought it up in the blood libel, the famous blood libel in Russia at the turn of the century. They said, ah, you consider goyim not human. You see, you guys are called mankind, but goyim are not called mankind. You consider them subhuman. So why not kill a person for their blood? So Rav Meir Shapiro said an absolutely brilliant answer. He said, it's in singular form. You guys, atem, you, plural, kuyin adam, can be called adam in a singular form. But goyim cannot. When one Jew has something wrong, every Jew throughout the entire world feels that pain. Every Jew davens. Every Jew says to Hillel. You have one person who's in trouble. You have Jonathan Pollard who's in jail. You have everybody throughout the entire world who's davening for him. You have that by no other nation in the world, said Rav Meir Shapiro. No other nation is considered like Adam, that they're all considered as one. You never find that anywhere. So what's Shapi on this? It's coming to teach you. Adam, Kieb or Basaro, this din does not apply by Goyim. These dinim do not apply by Goyim. Why? Because Negayim is a special thing that a Kaddish Baruch Hu brought out here. Bnei Yisrael have higher expectations than other Goyim. What do you get Tzoras for? What's the main reason? I know there are 17 reasons that are brought down by the Yaakov Ruvini as to why you get Tzoras, but what's the main reason?
Lashon Hara.
Lashon Hara is why you get it, for speaking about another person. I don't want to say this in a bad way. Unity and brotherhood by Goyim isn't necessary for their survival. They don't need to have unity. They don't need to have a brotherhood together. Their survival, or the reason why they're in this world, is not necessarily to get together and to have a whole group together and to do everything with one another. It's not necessarily true. They don't need that to exist. There were no such expectations for Goyim. For us, there was. For us, there was such an expectation. When you speak Lashon Hara and you destroy that bond that you have with other people, you destroy that friendship that me and you have by speaking Lashon Hara, you threw down the expectations. Lashon Hara ruins it completely. So thus, Adam, only we can have that concept. Adam, when we're in Adam, when we're together as one, that we are a group, but considered like a singular person, that Atem Koyin Adam, then you have the expectation, don't speak Lashon Hara. Don't ruin that brotherhood. Don't ruin that connection that each Jew has with one another. But Goyim, they're not called Adam. Thus, they have no such expectation. They have no such expectation to not speak Lashon Hara. If they speak it, we can't punish them for it.
They can get Sarah.
They cannot get Tzoras in the form that we get it as. And I'll explain that. I will explain that. They can get a form of Tzoras that we call leprosy. But our Tzoras is not like that. But let's go. What is this Tzoras?
Something different?
Yes. Yeah. We're going to have to... Naaman that you're talking about in the Haftorah, Naaman who was healed by Elisha, yeah, we're going to see that Tzoras of Naaman is not the same. And that's why Naaman was told, if anybody checks out the Haftorah, Naaman was told, just dip yourself in the Yarden River. Go dip yourself in the Jordan River 7 times. That'll get rid of it. What do you mean? That's not what you do for Tzoras. Send him outside of the camp. You have him wood together. You have a Kohen that comes around. That's what you do. You don't send him to a river. What does a river do? It's so different. So here's an unbelievable thing. Tacitus is a Roman historian. He lived a very, very long time ago, about the 2nd or 3rd century. He claims in his book that the Jews were slaves in Egypt. We were illegitimate children of Egypt. We were slaves. All
with leprosy. Crazy lepers. We were kicked out of Egypt, exiled out of Egypt because of our leprosy. We went through the desert. Finally, we got a leader, someone like Moses, who conquered a bunch of nations in Canaan, which obviously did not have too many people inside there. The Jews, who were so few in number and were lepers, were able to defeat them. We went in and were able to take over the land of Canaan. And we were very, very successful, but we were all lepers. And that's why there's two whole parshios in the Torah that speak about leprosy. Because we're lepers. That's what Tacitus says. Tacitus is wrong. A little bit. Just a little bit off. You know, a little bit off. It can't be. Oh, and that's what he says. Kohanim, the priests, are sanitary regulators. That's what they are. Sanitary regulators. They go around making sure that everybody's okay, you know, that is everything okay. The Department of Health walking around, hi, I'm just checking sure. Oh, leprosy, good, all right. Stay over there. You know, that's what it was. Obviously, that can't be. Obviously, that can't be. The problem is the rules of Tsaras are very, very strange. No, I'm going to give you a quick five right now. Number one, you must be in the process of healing in order to get Tsaras, in order for it to be tummy. If it's just a spot, usually that's not tummy. It must be in the process of where it's a mechia, where it's starting to heal, and there's a white spot, that's when you get the problem of Tsaras. What do you mean? If it's starting to heal, that means you're better, right? Doesn't that mean you're better? That's number one. That's what you would think, right? So that's a little bit off. Number two, it must be visible. If it's in a fold of fat, if the guy's really fat and it's within the fold and you can't see it, or if it's inside the mouth, that's not Tsaras. That doesn't count. It must be visible on the outside of the person, that if the Kohen looks at him, he'll be able to see it. He'll be able to see it. But if it's anywhere else, it's not going to be Tomei. Number three, it's only Tomei when the Kohen says so. If the Kohen wants, he can push it off. I'd be like, alright, I'll see you next week. If the Kohen wants to do that, he can. Until the Kohen says Tomei, it's not Tomei. If they want to take all, if it's Nigebata, where the house has Tsaras on it, the Kohen can say, take everything out. They'll take everything out, and the Kohen says, alright, it's Tomei. Well, if it's contagious leprosy or something like that, you think you wouldn't want those Kalin out there. Send them away. Burn it with the rest of the house. And it's happening. If a guy is in the middle of his Sheva Brachos and he gets Tsaras, or if it's in the middle of Pesach or Sukkot, don't look at him. Kohen's not allowed to look at him until the Sheva Brachos is over, or until the Chag is over. But if it's Tsaras, you think, don't let him be around other people. You don't want him to be around anybody else. So that's number three. Number four, it's only true by walled cities that you're kicked out. You're not kicked out by a regular city. You're not kicked out anywhere. It's only by walled cities. Number five, shchin all over your body. If you have a big thing of leprosy that goes all over your body, you are?
Tahor.
Well, that's strange. You'd think that would be the most tummy. But what's going on over here? What could this possibly be? Aside from that, leprosy starts as an inflammatory swelling. It starts to be a swelling in your body, and then afterward it darkens, and the skin darkens, and leprosy is not contagious. I mean, this changes every 5 years. Depends on which study you're going on. But it's not contagious. It's not supposed to be contagious. But this stuff is white or yellow, and it's supposed to look deeper in the skin, not as a swelling where it looks up. It's supposed to be deeper in the skin. It's supposed to look like there's a hole in your skin. Not that it's just like a swelling on top. So it can't be Tsaras. It's the exact opposite of normal leprosy. So what is this stuff? What is it? And first of all, is Tsaras, the Tsaras that we talk about in the Torah, is it catchy? Can you catch it? So that's Machlokas Rambam and Ramban. So which one do you think says what? Knowing the Rambam is a very like normal guy, and the Ramban
is
very like, you know, like soda sticker guy, Kabbalah guy. Which guy says what? Which guy says it's contagious? Which guy says no, it's not contagious, it's just a crazy miracle thing?
The Rambam says it's contagious.
Rambam says it's contagious, and the Ramban will say it's a miracle thing, right? Just the opposite. Rambam says it's the greatest miracle you've ever seen, and the Ramban says no, it's a natural affliction. It's a real natural affliction, and it could happen to anybody. It could happen. It's not leprosy that we know of as leprosy, but it could happen to anybody. It's just
how
the opposite.
The real, you have the Tsaras or the Goyim Tsaras.
How would you know?
Yeah, because like, what if you have the real contagious leprosy that like Goyim get, and like, a Goyim doesn't feel a week, and then everyone gets sick, but it's not the
Again, it's going to look differently. So since it'll look differently, you won't really have to worry about that. The guy won't even think to go to a Kohen because he'll be like, oh man, I got this black stuff going up on top of my skin. He won't think like, oh, it's white and it's going under. There's going to be a major difference between them. I mean, right now, look at the table. Is it white on black or is it black on white?
Like zebras.
What is it? When you see a zebra, do you think white on black or black on white?
There's some white spots underneath the white. Black underneath the white.
Do you see black inside the white?
Yeah.
The black looks deeper than the white?
Yeah.
Some of it.
This table's pretty cool.
I guess it's a bad table. Okay, look at a piece of paper. On a piece of paper, is it white? Do you see the black on top of the white, or do you see the black under the white?
The black on top of the white.
Black on top of the white.
On the stuff that's white, that's what they put in the white.
Oh, gosh darn it. All right, we're not going to go into this now. Rashi said, I mean, the idea is supposed to be that white always looks darker than everything surrounding it. If you have white on black, it should be that white is deeper than black. I don't know if that's in actuality true. I ask it every single time I look at somebody and I say, like, well, what do you think? And they always tell me different answers. But, all right, I was hoping I'd get one answer from everybody over here. But aside from that, okay, so what's going on? Yes. The Ramban disagrees and says that it's something that is a normal affliction. It's a normal sickness. But anyway, you mean about the deeper?
Yeah,
100%. The guy argues on that also. Yahweh says it's different. Yahweh says it afflicts your neshama. It afflicts your soul. It has to do with your soul. It has nothing to do with the physicality. You know what happens? When you go to sleep at night, your neshama is supposed to go up to Shemayim. It's supposed to speak with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. When you have tsaras, your neshama is kicked out of Shemayim. All the malachim are like, get out of here, stupid soul. And they take you, they throw you down. They throw you down every single time. And they say, tummy, tummy, yikra. They call it tummy, tummy, yikra. It's not something which is a physical ailment or anything like that. It's something which, and you don't feel bad for it, but your neshama feels bad. And without tshuva, you're not allowed in the camp of the tzaddikim lasid lavo. You're placed in the tita yaveh, the blood, the mud of Greece, which is the fourth room in Gehenna, and you'll get crazy amounts of yisurin, which are pain and everything like that. So that's not good. That's not what you want. That's what the Alamo always says. So it's more of it's a neshama dika thing. It's a spiritual thing. That's a little bit more. What?
There are obviously
you see it. Yeah, but it doesn't bother you. It doesn't hurt you. But this is an absolute unbelievable. He says a great answer. He says it a bit simpler. Lashon Hara is a social thing. Social sin, right? Two people that are sitting in a room together, it's a social idea. You can't say something about another person because you're not going to be friends with that guy, whatever it is. The onesh is going to be a punishment that you would give for a guy who socially misbehaved. What do you do with a guy who can't live in society?
Banish him.
Banish him from society. Got to kick him out of society. Such a crazy, crazy idea.
Who's to say this is a punishment?
What the onesh is supposed to be, you're right, in a way. The onesh is not a bad thing. Nega is also noga. You're being touched by God. It's like God tapping you on the shoulder and telling you, Eric, wake up. Look at what you're doing. People don't want to be around you. People hate you, Eric.
It's true.
People think that you just do wrong things all day long. No.
I found this Bass Rachel thing. Apparently it turned up.
By the way, but that's the nugga. And that's why you're shown death. You're shown the white spot. The white spot is supposed to remind you of death. What you do when you what happens when you die? You turn all white. You lose your color. We make you lose your color. We make you say to yourself, do you really want to be like a dead person in your lifetime? Somebody with no friends? Somebody who can't do anything? So don't speak Lashon Hara. Don't speak Lashon Hara.
Who's to say it's for him? Maybe it's for the community as a whole.
It is as well.
It is
as well. Better to get rid of this guy. But we don't, to be honest with you, this guy needs the kapara, not those guys. This guy who speaks Lashon Hara. Now, obviously, you're right that it's a deterrent for people who speak Lashon Hara.
I'm not saying that. If I speak Lashon Hara, so what am I doing? When I speak Lashon Hara, I like say something bad and then he hates me or something.
Yeah.
So then, if I'm around, that's just going to lead to more and then the community as a whole is going
to
suffer.
Oh, so you want to keep the guy out.
So
the guy comes back 2 weeks later.
Only after he's done tshuva.
Yeah, but I mean, this still is 2 weeks later. But I hear you. That's the basic idea is that we make sure we want him to get out of here just for a little bit. However, if it's the Shavuot Brachos or if it's on a Chag and it's on Sukkot or Pesach, then we say stay around. Why? Because he'll see so many people socially interacting with one another and he'll realize he's doing something wrong. Why don't they want to be with me? And especially if he's just gotten a wife, if he just got married, or if it's a wife who just got married to a guy, in which each one of them will say, I want to be together with my husband, I want to be together with my wife, I'm doing something wrong. And they'll do tshuva immediately. So to an achag, where they're standing around and everyone's like, hey, anyone want to go to dinner with me? And there's millions of people around and nobody wants to be with him. He'll realize there's something wrong. And he doesn't need to be kicked out of the camp. He'll be able to do tshuva right there in Yerushalayim. He'll be able to do tshuva wherever he is. He'll be perfectly fine. That's the idea behind it. And when he's totally white, you're tahor. Why, when you're totally white, are you going to be tahor?
He says
the No, because the pshat is, at that point, the guy's beyond hope. Guy's absolutely beyond hope. The only thing that can happen is to get him to start thinking about it once over again and start redoing it all over again. He start redoing everything. Think to himself, what in the world am I doing? He's got a coat. He's got isolation is not going to work for him. He's got to see how people are shunning him, looking at him and saying, whoa, that guy's white. Is he albino? No, he's not. Look at the color of his eyes. So what's wrong with him? Must have spoken Lashon Hara. When he sees stuff like that and people saying that about him, he'll say to himself, there's something wrong with him. I've got to fix myself. That's the only way it's going to work, because isolation's not good enough for him. But among other people, okay, whatever it is. That's why there's two whole parshas, Tazria and Metzora, all about Tzoras. All about this sin, which we call leprosy, this white mark that goes on you. Why? Because it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling us, I care about your social interactions with other people. I care about the whole community. I want to make sure that you have a community in which everybody can work with one another, where you will be an other, where everybody will be able to work together, not that everybody or one guy will be able to destroy the other person. It's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I care about you guys. I want to make sure that everybody can be with one another. Thus, it's understandable. When did Tzoras end? What was the last known case of Tzoras? At the end of Bayis Sheni. At the end of the second Beis Hamikdash, we got put into Golus, when we were exiled, and we no longer were going to have a nation that was together. Now we're going to be separate from everyone. Well, there's no need to give you Tzoras anymore. Because Baruch Hu felt distant from us. And there's not even a community anymore. There's not even a real community. And when there are communities, they're all not together with one another. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to distance myself from you. I'm going to take myself away. It's the greatest punishment to us that we don't have Tzoras. That you don't have Tzoras nowadays. Can you imagine? You said something wrong, you get immediately touched by God. Eric, you did something wrong. Can you imagine that? For God to call you up on your cell phone. Tzvi, you're wrong. Thank you, God. I'll do tshuva now. But now that we don't think we did wrong. You'll come after speaking Lashon Hara, somebody will tell you, I think that was Lashon Hara. You'll be like, nah, couldn't be, no way, couldn't be. If God touches you, you know you were wrong. Because no matter what you say, like, I know, I think that wasn't Lashon Hara. I guess it is. There's nothing to argue about. If you gave me Tzoras, you know you're wrong. It's the worst punishment in the world that we don't have Tzoras anymore. Such a crazy thing. Such a crazy, crazy thing. Anyway, that's why the Yalkut Ruveni says, the only people who ever got Tzoras were Tzadikim. And it only existed in Eretz Yisrael. Never existed anywhere but Eretz Yisrael and only by the Tzadikim. Why? Because you have to be a special person to be touched by God, to be told immediately that you did something wrong. It's a noga. God touched you, not nega as in a plague. Noga, that God touched you and he said to you, you're doing something wrong. Work on yourself. That's the idea. Sometimes isolation is the best way of doing it, and that's the idea. Sometimes it's better to be with other people. Totally depends on the situation.
Like nowadays,
could be the same thing, but it's never the same effect. When you see it on your skin, then you know it's wrong. When it's just a guy saying it to you, 5 seconds later you'll forget that he ever told you anything. You'll think in your mind, you'll be like, yeah, maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong. It could be, but not always. That's the sad part. Okay, we have, so that's the Yalkut Ruveni. Who gave it to you? Now this is going to go back to what Ken was saying before. This is the Machlokas as well. We said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was touching you, right? But there's an emissary that does it for you. There's a shliach. There's a messenger that does everything for you. That messenger, Rabbi Schechter really said it last year, might be the Malach HaMavis. And that's the pshat and why it looks like death. Because the Malach HaMavis is the one that does it to you. And thus when Bnei Yisrael first heard about Tzoras, they went crazy. We're never going to be able to survive. We're never going to be able to do anything. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu told them, you guys are going to get this thing called Tzoras, and taught them Parshat Tzria, Parshat Metzora. Said the Jews will never be able to do it. Why? Other sicknesses are just as bad. What's the difference? Because this, they assume, if the Satan's giving it to us, it's Malach HaMavis, we're never going to be able to survive it. Can anybody heal death? No. The Malach HaMavis cannot be healed. A Metzora is considered like he's dead. Can anybody heal Metzora, Tzoras? They assume not. Can anybody heal blindness? No. They assume that when it says that you're going to get Tzoras, they assume, oh, it's given to us by what's it called? By the Malach HaMavis? We're never going to be able to get out of it. There will be no way, there's no way in the world we're we're ever going to be able to get out of it. And they sat there, and they're like, oh, come on, what are we going to do? For that, they said, okay, fine, I'll give you another thing. There's a crazy other boards. Don't worry. Change around the word nega. What do you got? Come on, nega a little bit.
Oneg.
What do you got?
Oneg.
Change around the word soras a little bit. What do you got?
Atzeres.
Atzeres. Oneg and Atzeres. Let's think about that for a second. You got nega, which we explained was touched by God. But okay, let's take the literal translation of nega, which is plague. Then you got soras, which is something that's leprosy, a sickness, something disgusting. It can turn into